There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Yeah, since we've been away, since we left you last, there has been another goal at the London Stadium. Which way has it gone, CBR?
Yeah, Tom, what I can tell you is it's gone West Ham's way. Anatronic, the number seven, a beautiful through ball up the middle of the field. Manchester United defence left absolutely helpless. He had the goalkeeper to beat. He beat the goalkeeper. He put it in the back of the net. West Ham United 3, Manchester United 1, as we just watched a replay of that goal again. Fantastic execution. As I said, a fantastic through ball. No defense for the United side. He had the goalkeeper to beat, put in the back of the net. 79 minutes played. West Ham 3, United 1.
Bubbles blowing down at the London Stadium. Pellegrini saying before the game, West Ham better with Arnautovic in it. Well, that's been borne out on the scorecard as well. Anderson, Lindelof's been credited with that second goal as an own goal, but off the boot and the shot of Yarmolenko. And just a few moments ago, Marco Arnautovic. West Ham 3 to Manchester United, Marcus Rashford's 1. How many minutes we got left in that? Just over 10 regulation time. There'll be a bit of extra as well. What's happening in the Ryder Cup? Let's get the latest. Ross Christ.
Through 5, Johnson and Kopitar are even with Rose and Stenson. And through 3 holes, Watson and Simpson are 1 up on Garcia and Noren. And through 2 holes, Molinari and Fleetwood, who have just been playing lights out together, are 1 up on Woods and the youngster DeChambeau. And through 2, Poulter and McIlroy are 2 up on Thomas and Spieth. The overall score right now, Europe leads the United States of America 8-4.
What's going on in the football? A little later on, 6 o'clock local time here in the UAE, live here on Dubai Eye 103.8. You're going to be able to get Premier League coverage, courtesy of our friends at Talk Sport. Wolverhampton Wanderers against Southampton, Newcastle against Leicester, Man City against Brighton Hove Albion, Huddersfield against Spurs, Everton against Fulham. If there's any goals in those games, you'll hear them. But the man that you will be hearing giving us uninterrupted coverage of Arsenal against Watford from the Emirates is our man Dan Wheeler, joins us live on the line now. Afternoon to you, Dan. Thanks so much indeed for speaking to us.
Hi there, no problem at all. Good to talk to you.
Now, often in years gone by, looking at this fixture on the fixture list, one would assume Arsenal would be ahead of Watford in the Premier League. It's a funny old thing, the Premier League, but I suppose the fact that Watford go into this game ahead of Arsenal in the standings at the moment is just evidence of what a great start they've had to the season.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's the first time, in fact, Watford have faced Arsenal ahead of them in the table for 34 years. You've got to go all the way back to September 1984 to find out the last time that happened. It was a humdinger that day as well, Arsenal winning by 4-3. So let's hope for some of the same level of entertainment this afternoon. But yeah, you're right that Watford are where they are, fourth in the Premier League table on merit. They've had a fantastic start to the season, won their 4 opening games, of course, for the first time ever in their history. It's their best ever start after 6 games, and Javier Gracia has done a superb job. Manager of the month for August, his team are on a roll. They've been brought back to earth with something of a bump over the last couple of games. They beat Spurs, obviously, in that run. They pushed Manchester United very close, but they've only taken a point from the last couple of games. So they'll be looking to rediscover their momentum, which is what Arsenal are all about as well. They've won their last 4 matches under Unai Emery as he started to get his feet under the table after so long of Arsene Wenger's control, of course.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, the Unai Emery era as well. Difficult one to come into after Arsene Wenger dominating that position for so long. How have you read the Emery era as it is at the moment? It was never going to be a quick fix, was it?
Oh, no. It's a long-term project. We've seen historically with other clubs, you've only got to think of Manchester United, about how hard it is to follow a club legend. Everyone knows Wenger's success. Just ask David Moyes how tough it is to follow someone who's been superb in the role for such a long time. So it's a daunting task facing Unai Emery. And I actually saw their first match of the season, commentated on it against Manchester City. I'm afraid the Gunners were terrible, absolutely awful, all over the place. Yes, they were playing Manchester City, but nevertheless, they were wretched, and it signalled that really he's got an enormous job to do. They then played Chelsea, of course, played much better, lost 3-2 there. two very hard games to start with, of course, so it's difficult to gauge it from that. But the fixture list has evened out for them since. They've won four in a row. If you throw in the Europa League win and the League Cup win this week as well, it's six in a row. So that breeds confidence. Obviously, it breeds momentum. Crucially as well, he's found a way of playing Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang and Alexandre Lacazette together up front, because it seemed to be one or the other. But they played together for the last two games. They both scored in the last match against Everton, and seeing Lacazette and Aubameyang in the same team together has got to be good news, I think.
Aaron Ramsey has dominated a few pre-match headlines. Been a lot of chat about his contract, or lack of, in the lead-up to this game. Have you got any further information on that one? Do you expect to see him at the club at the end of this season or after the summer?
Well, he plays today, so I think with Aaron Ramsey, it's kind of on a game-by-game basis. Obviously, he can't go anywhere until January. There is this strange situation that's happened. It's been suggested for quite some weeks that he was asking for something around £300,000 a week to sign a new deal. Whether that's true or not, we don't know. And then there was this slightly bizarre situation this week where the contract was put in front of him, and then the club withdrew it. Don't know the details why they did that, whether someone has changed what they were asking for. I'm not sure whether Arsenal got cold feet in the end. Who knows? Their former player, Reece Weston, is part of our commentary team this afternoon, so I'm sure he will have more of an insight on that situation. But for Unai Emery, it's been great for the last four games, but this is the first real test he's got. What does he do now with Aaron Ramsey, who clearly his future's up in the air? He can walk away for nothing in the summer. He can sign a pre-contract agreement in the new year with a team in Europe as well. If he does that, then what does he do with him for the second half of the season? So dealing with a player that is on the periphery of things, that his future at the club is far from certain, is a really tricky one for a manager. But he said this week that all he cares about is the team, preparing the team, picking the best team he can, and Ramsey keeps his place today.
You mentioned that Ramsey is in the starting 11. Maybe you could give us those that team news at the moment as it filters through here to Dubai.
Yeah, sure. One change from the Everton game, from their last Premier League match. It's not a huge surprise because Socrates picked up an injury in that game and he was replaced at half-time by Rob Holding. It was suggested that maybe the Greek international has recovered to keep his place, but he hasn't, so he's not being risked. So Holding starts in the only change from the team that beat Everton. As for Watford, well, they have had to make their first change of the season, actually. They played the first six matches with the same 11. Nice luxury for the manager. But the injury to Daryl Yanmat in the last game against Fulham, a knee problem, means that he's got to shuffle his pack for the first time. Mark Navarro, their summer signing from Espanyol, comes in at right back to make his Premier League debut. Troy Deeney, who likes to ruffle the feathers of the Gunners whenever he can, he plays too. He's had to have some injections into his ankle to ease the pain there. So how fully fit and how mobile he will be, we'll have to wait and see. But he plays this afternoon, Deeney. One change for both these sides.
Arsenal at the Emirates Stadium, always a tough ask for any visitors as well. But given Watford's start to the season, given the threat they've got up front, and given the football they've been playing since the beginning of the season, is this their best chance in quite some time?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, well, we said at the top of this piece, didn't we? It's 34 years since they were ahead of Arsenal when they faced them in the league. So they have a wonderful chance to build on that now. They do have the weapons to cause Arsenal problems. It was Arsenal's first clean sheet of the season as well against Everton. That tells its own story, I think. So they will give you a chance, and I think there will be goals at both ends today. As I mentioned a couple of moments ago, for me it depends on how fit Troy Deeney is. If he is properly fit and he's able to play to his maximum, then I think Watford have got a real chance. Andre Gray alongside him is a player that's always had bags of talent, but not necessarily the opportunity or the application to do that consistently. But we saw his excellent goal against Fulham at the weekend gone by. So Gray has got ability. Deeney we all know about. Pereira is tasty on the wing as well. So is Young Hughes. They've got a really good core in the middle there with Doucouré and Kapu. So, you know, Watford definitely will go into this game, understandably, thinking they've got a real chance here, and they have. But I would still think that Arsenal are going to edge this at home, but I think there'll be goals both ends.
We are looking forward to it with bated breath. We've been treated to a great game at the London Stadium already. I know that there's a number of your colleagues who are passionate West Ham fans as well. They'll be licking their lips with what they've been seeing over the last 88 minutes or so. We'll leave that for now. Looking forward to you live from London at 3 o'clock. That's live here in Dubai at 6. For now, though, Dan, enjoy the game. Thanks so much indeed for your thoughts.
No problem. Take care. Thank you.
Dan Willier is your match commentator from 6 p.m. local time here in the UAE. It's Arsenal against Watford. Dan Willier says there's going to be goals. There will be goals aplenty. And if there are goals in any of the other 6 o'clock kickoffs, you'll hear them right here on Dubai I-103.8. Get it locked as soon as we go off air from 6 o'clock. You've got Arsenal against Watford.
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, where the game is always on.
You are listening to Dubai I-103.8 and a very chirpy presenter in the name of Tom Urquhart, because he's watching the football at the moment. Not so chirpy as my colleague and co-presenter, CVR. What's happening in the football?
Not chirpy at all, Tom, but what can I tell you? It's been a West Ham United dominance down at the London Stadium, Tom. They're leading Manchester United 3-1, 92 minutes played, 2 more minutes of injury time left, and as I say, what a performance by Manuel Pellegrini's men. They basically overshadowed United. United's defence once again questionable, and some fantastic goals scored by the West Ham boys.
That's what's happening in the football. What's happening in the golf at the moment? Christo, tell us more.
Through 6 holes, Johnson and Kopta are even with Rose and Stenson. Then on through 4 holes, Watson and Simpson are 2 up on the team of Garcia and Noren. Through 4 holes, Molinari and Fleetwood, they've been playing well. They're 2 up on Tiger Woods and Bryson DeChambeau. And through 3 holes, Poulter and McIlroy are 2 up on Thomas and Spieth. The overall score here is 8-4. The Americans have to get something out this afternoon before singles play starts, so they're going to have to start firing right now. You hope that Tiger Woods can start playing a little bit better in the second half of today.
Going to keep an eye on those ones for you. Stay tuned to Dubai I-103.8, because you will have coverage of Arsenal against Watford. That's live from 6 o'clock here in the UAE. You heard Dan Wheeler talking there about the game. He's going to be your commentator for Talk Sport. Live coverage here in Dubai on Dubai I-103.8. Let's hear from the Arsenal boss now, Unai Emery, of course, who took over from Arsene Wenger after Wenger retired from his role, or left his role last season. Unai Emery is enjoying his time at Arsenal.
For me, it's a very good experience at the moment. Many, many, many matches, many days, and many, I hope, many years for continuing improving here with my experience and with my knowledge. But now, at the moment, I think the club is giving me a lot of things positive. I am working every day with the player with a very big commitment, and my demanding is very, very, very great, very big. Also my challenge here.
He also believes that every player at Arsenal has their part to play.
For me, every player they are very important with their roles on the team, and I considered each player his space, important space on the squad.
We were talking there about Aaron Ramsey, a bit of confusion about his contract in the lead up to this game. Let's get more on that one. What does Emery make of it?
My aspect for the focus only to think is the matches and prepare the matches and to speak with the player if they are thinking and they are very concentrated for work only for the best performance individual for giving us also and help us for the performance collective.
And what about the match today? Watford have been in sublime form since the start of the season. How does Emery feel about the visit of Watford to the Emirates Stadium?
Very competitive, and here I think Watford is starting the season very well, but because they are playing very well, it's for us a big challenge for overtake on the table with him against or winning him. But I know before it's a much very difficult match, and for them also is one challenge very, very big, and we are excited, and they are excited also for for the 90 minutes we are going to play tomorrow.
So let's get to the Premier League. That one is your game from 6 o'clock, Arsenal against Watford, live here on Dubai Eye from 6. So make sure you stay tuned for that one. We have had full time in the early kickoff, and it's not often since the beginning of the season that you've seen Happy Hammers at the London Stadium. That will change today, though.
Yeah, Tom, sorry about that. Just looking at Jose Mourinho going under the tunnel, and as I can say, he does not look like a happy man. Yeah, Tom, West Ham all the way today. As you say, a fantastic performance from them. Manchester United, very questionable once again on the defence as well as attack. West Ham seeing them off 3-1 this afternoon in the early kickoff.
Marko Arnautović scored the third of those three goals there. His goal celebration was parading the shirt of Carlos Sanchez, who is his teammate at West Ham. We couldn't understand why. It's because Sanchez was injured midweek in the Caribou Cup game and looks like he's going to be on the sidelines for a long time. So it was just in a reflect of Carlos Sanchez to let him know that the team was thinking about him, get better soon as well. Nice little gesture.
Very, very nice gesture. And Antovic, as you said, West Ham is a better team with him. And once again, he proved that today, Tom. It was a fantastic goal from him. Amazing through ball. Of course, he had the goalkeeper to beat. He had a lot of work to do. And as you say, he put it in the back of the net. But yeah, it seems like West Ham are becoming a much more united team, as you say, especially with that little friendly gesture of his after scoring that goal.
Nice play from West Ham. Well done to them. And that will see them go up the table. Whether they will remain there remains to be seen. Let's talk tennis if we can very quickly, fellas, because we've had news out this week. Andy Murray's season is over and done with. No big surprise there. So the biggest surprise at the moment is Serena Williams still absent from court at the moment since her meltdown at the US Open final. She's pulled out of the China Open. Some commentators suggesting that could be her done for the season, which wouldn't be a huge surprise, would it?
Yeah, well, she's a mother now, so she has other things to worry about. But golly, what a show of poor sportsmanship. She just took the spotlight from the I'm forgetting her name right now. The Japanese girl that won it.
Naomi Osaka,
who won it. I just can't get behind Serena Williams. I think she's a phenomenal athlete. I think she's a tremendously poor loser. I just couldn't get behind that whole entire rant that she threw at that poor entire judge and calling him a thief, pointing at him. The poor guy wasn't even there for the trophy ceremony because he just didn't want to face her anymore. And I wouldn't either. An angry Serena Williams seems very, very frightening.
Well, angry Serena Williams with a very passionate and partisan crowd behind her as well, who were giving the umpire a bit of stick at the same time. But she encouraged that, didn't she? She sort of played to the crowd.
It's you know, if you look at the history of Serena Williams, there was a great article that came out about her. She actually has been pretty horrific to some of these linesmen, some of these chair umpires throughout the duration of her career, male or female. And she's also been pretty bad to some of her opposition. I mean, if you play the sport of if you play a professional sport for 20 years, you're going to have a bad day at the office. You're not going to have it's not always going to be roses, is it? So there's a handful of times where you'd raise an eyebrow and you'd say to your little kid, "All right, this is what you don't do when you're playing tennis. This is not how you do it." Normally, 95% of the time, she's a role model. She's a phenomenal African-American female athlete that came from Compton, California. And, you know, it's just groundbreaking achievements after groundbreaking achievement. But still, the way you act in tennis, you see sportsmanship. It comes along with the game. You know this, Tommy, from being on the court. And I just don't think she always shows it.
Your thoughts on that would have been good. I'll keep them coming in through to us by texting to a 4001. You talk about sportsmanship. This time last week, we were all getting ready to watch a world heavyweight defence. AJ taking on Povetkin in that fighter over at Wembley, a very wet Wembley. It poured with rain pretty much throughout the entirety of the fight and the afternoon as well. That didn't dampen the atmosphere. Just want to get your boys' thoughts on the fight as well. I watched it. Not live, watched the replay, so I had an opportunity to sort of sit through it. The more I watch Anthony Joshua, the more I'm getting a little bit concerned about him. I don't know if there's anything in that, and whether you read that as well. I've read a lot of the guys after the fight saying he was just in complete control of the fight. He was pulling the strings. It was all down to him. I didn't see it like that. I saw Joshua get himself into a little bit of trouble early doors. He grew into the fight. But I just think he is suspect to a big hit early doors.
Well, Go ahead, Carl. First of all, Tom, that fight that you watched against Potkin, that is his best opponent besides the Klitschko fight. That Potkin is no chump. He came into this. He's a hard-hitting, good heavyweight boxer. He knows how to fight. So I think this was a real test for him. And you're going to see him get hit. And he did get hit in that fight. I mean, they were going back and forth up until that sixth round. Up until the seventh round when the actual knockout occurred, you could have thought this fight could go either way, just as you were saying, right? I mean, this was so it was exciting as a boxing fan, though. I you have to love it. But yeah, I do. You definitely see there are little chinks in his armor that you can navigate, and he can get hit a little bit. So
it's just, you know, boxing fans, boxing aficionados can get carried away, can't they, with their praise? And I just think that post-fight praise that has been launched with good reason. You know, the guy has unified belts. The guy is up there as an undefeated heavyweight at the moment. So he is there on merit. I just worry that sort of praise goes a little bit too far until he's had fights with all the other contenders out there at the moment.
Well, I feel you can praise him until he loses, Tom. But where I do agree with Ross is I sometimes think defensively, especially in the opening rounds of a fight, he doesn't always look too sure of himself. Yeah. And if he gets hit with the right punch, that will basically be the end of him. To date, of course, the same happened against Klitschko. He somehow seemed to have always come back, got himself back into the fight. But I sometimes think if he goes up against somebody that's going to rattle him very, very early in those rounds, because defensively he seems to struggle a little bit, he's going to have problems. But saying all that, he's undefeated. He's got the belts to his name. He once again, I would say, I agree with you. I think it's his best opponent to date. He saw through that fight. He put him down on the covers in the seventh round, and I think he's a great, great prospect, Tom.
I couldn't agree more. I can't deny it. That's for sure. I just see as Christo was saying there about a couple of chinks in the armor. Let's just wait and see. The unfortunate thing, I suppose, and it's going to be interesting to see what Hearn does with AJ now, because they're going to have to wait until December for this fight between Fury and Wilder. What, you need 3 months out at the other side of a fight before you can fight again. 3-4 months possibly. We're not looking for a fight against either of those till March, April of next year, which is a long layoff for AJ, especially when he's in his prime at the moment. He's going to want a tune-up fight somewhere between that time.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens, because that fight's going to be on December 1st out in Los Angeles, which will be the first fight in Los Angeles since Lennox Lewis took on Vitaly Klitschko. So that'll be big for Southern California boxing fans. But yeah, I think he might just sit on this one, Tom. I think he just might sit. I think he might enjoy it for a little bit. I mean, you don't want to go over a year in fighting. It won't be over a year. I think push it to around 8 months sitting. Who knows? Maybe he'll throw up a chump at him. They'll maybe get waltz you into the ring and let him have his way with you.
Dillian White was sort of sniffing around, but then again, why would he bother?
Yeah, I think he's just going to wait for this Wilder Tyson Fury thing to play out, and he's going to take the winner of that, and that will be a mega fight. Yeah. That will be something else. When AJ takes on the winner of that, it'll be nothing short of phenomenal.
I think all boxing fans, should I rather say, especially UK boxing fans, want to see a Tyson Fury AJ showdown, you know, and I think that's what everybody's waiting for.
Boxing fans want to see a Wilder AJ showdown.
I'd prefer that, to be honest.
Tyson Fury, in my mind, has taken the express lane highway back into the ring, but by beating people up that I'm pretty sure should not be in the ring. I think he's really going to find himself in a big test going against Dante Wilder. Dante Wilder is a very, very good awkward heavyweight fighter. Also, Tyson Fury, awkward heavyweight fighter. So it'll be good to see these guys back in the ring. But Tyson Fury's tune-up fights coming into this. The one guy didn't even get up off his stool. He just stood down on his stool, never stood back up.
Just while we're on the world of boxing, just want to talk about an event that took place down in Saudi Arabia last night, because we had the combination of the World Boxing Super Series. Callum Smith ended fellow Briton George Groves' 16-month reign as the WBA World Super Middleweight Champion and won the World Boxing Super Series with a stunning seventh-round knockout. The Liverpudlian, 28, landed a left hook to hurt Groves, who hung on until a body shot finally floored him as 30-year-old Groves shook his head. The new champion dropped to his knees in Jeddah in Saudi Arabia. Obviously, this is a series that's been going on throughout the year. It was toward the final fight. There's been a lot of chat about the fact that two Brits fighting in Jeddah in Saudi Arabia. How does that work? Saudi Arabia encouraging boxing, looking to bring more big fights into the region, into KSA. They've invested heavily into this World Series through sponsorships. So obviously, it is part and parcel of that agreement. But it's interesting to say that they also mentioned midweek, didn't they, Roscoe, that they think that this fight in Saudi Arabia, although it hasn't been embraced by that many down there at the moment, will be an opening of doors to more fights, big fights here in the region.
You've seen what Saudi Arabia has been doing with their sport. They sent Robbie Greenfield out there earlier this year to check out some of the golf courses. I mean, they've been
not the hairdressers,
not any of the grooming. They've been picking up on the boxing. They also Saudi Arabia, the Riyadh also has a very nice marathon as well in the capital. So you're seeing the sport grow, and the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia has been investing heavily back into sport, which, you know, as our neighbors and our friends right next door, we can only benefit from that, surely.
At this time next weekend, I will be turning 43 next Saturday, around about this time. Not just morning in advance, fellas, or anything like that. Either of you with me or not? Are you here for my birthday?
What are we doing?
What are you doing?
Back to the Desert Palm?
Talking sport, I reckon, but we'll also be getting ready for Conor McGregor, because he makes his return into the to UFC. Again, you are better versed on this one than me, Roscoe, but I'm told by those that know a thing or two about UFC that this is going to be his toughest fight to date.
100%, but we were saying the same thing about Jose Aldo, the young Brazilian that Conor McGregor was facing, who was undefeated when Conor McGregor faced him, and Conor McGregor knocked him out in 3 seconds. So this Khabib, very, very well-skilled fighter, certainly a wrestler. He's not more of a puncher. He's more of a wrestler. He wants to get you onto the ground. Conor McGregor, despite what he says in his very, very outlandish press conferences, will not want to be on the ground with Khabib. He's going to try to keep him away. He's going to try to beat him with his strike. This will be a phenomenal.
And there's history between the two, yeah?
Yeah, well, Conor McGregor is facing police charges. He actually had to plead guilty to a little charge because he attacked a bus that Khabib was in. He injured some UFC fighters throwing a ladder through a bus. And, you know, Conor McGregor's great at building it up. And you can see this. He picked up a police charge to build up this fight. Let's put it that way. So he's really trying. He's doing his own promotion. You see his beverage company is also going to be in the ring as well. So he's doing well. He signed a six-fight deal with Dana White. So I think after these six fights, he might just ride off into the sunset, just be laughing the whole entire way. But this Khabib guy, he is the real deal.
Is it? Do you? I mean, you love your UFC and you're a keen follower of it. Is he? I mean, we know he's a problem. We know he's a bit of a problem child. He can cause a bit of a fury. But is he a problem for someone like Dana White at the moment? I mean, does Dana White need Conor McGregor? Or is UFC, the brand, big enough to survive without McGregor?
I think he basically, Conor McGregor, gets to write his own rules on how the UFC works right now. And he's seen the way that he's...
And is that healthy?
It depends on who you ask. If you're a Conor McGregor fan, if you like the outlandishness, if you like, you know, the money, the flashness, the trash talk, all this brazen stuff that he brings to the table, yeah. If you're more of a traditionalist, if you will, from the olden days of UFC, you probably hate Conor McGregor. I kind of stand right in the middle. I like seeing some of his clips, and sometimes I just want to turn off the TV and think this guy has just lost the plot. But I know one thing. I'm going to be tuning into his fight, 100%. Yeah. Everyone here will be, right? We'll all be watching it. So we like his product. We like what he brings to the ring. It's just the stuff leading up to the ring. You know, would you necessarily want Gus watching a Conor McGregor press conference? And you say, "Yeah, Gus, this is how you treat your opponent." You know, it's just in a world, MMA now is just the world of no sportsmanship. Yeah. You just don't see it anymore in mixed martial arts. You see it in all other forms of sport, even in boxing. In mixed martial arts now, it's just not traditional. It's not the norm to treat your opponent with respect.
You listen to my 103.8. Lots of respect here around the table. We got Carlos, we've got Christo, we've got myself, and of course the team. We're live from Barasti, where the game is always on. If you're looking for somewhere to watch your sport this evening, get yourself down to Barasti, where you can watch any of the Premier League games, La Liga games, Ryder Cup, and much, much more. It's all being played out on one of the 20-plus screens that you'll find around the venue. We will tell you who's on pole for the Russian Grand Prix after this.
This is The Grill. Tweet the team at Dubai Eye Sport.
Unbelievable goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, where the game is always on.
So a bit of a shock over in Russia, where we have a result from qualifying and we have our pole position, but it hasn't gone to the usual suspects. It is Valeri Bottas, who is on pole. Bottas, who was flying towards the end. Hamilton was also flying as well. Could have taken it easier at turn seven. Went wide. That cost him as well. His teammate on pole for Russia tomorrow, which is not great for Lewis, but great for the team.
Yeah, absolutely, Tom. 1-2 Mercedes at the top. Sebastian Vettel in third position. His teammate Kimi Räikkönen in fourth. Then we've got the Haas team in fifth position. Force India in sixth. And then, of course, the Sauber in seventh. As you said, not the best result for Lewis, but still looking very, very good in the championship. But I guess him and Vettel will be pushing each other hard. They'll push each other all the way till Abu Dhabi, of course, that final race taking place here at the end of November.
So it is the Russian Grand Prix tomorrow afternoon. All sorts of sport to look forward to tomorrow afternoon, but worry not about tomorrow afternoon because you've still got plenty to look forward to today. Let's get back to the golf, shall we? Christo's been watching the leaderboard develop at the Ryder Cup. It's day two of the Ryder Cup. It's the final foursomes of the tournament this year. Foursomes which have been dominated, or were certainly dominated, by the Europeans yesterday. How are they faring today?
Well, I can tell you, Johnson and Kopta are down against a Rose and Stenson team. They are one up through eight holes. Watson and Simpson are two up on a team of Garcia and Norin. And then Woods and DeChambeau are two down against Molinari and Fleetwood. Fleetwood's just been playing lights out over there in Paris. And through four holes, Rory McIlroy, Ian Poulter, Mr. Ryder Cup, one up over a team of Thomas and Spieth. The overall score coming into this is Europe leading the United States of America 8-4.
I'm going into those singles tomorrow, CVR. I mean, you are a keen observer of the game. On paper, maybe this is something to think about. Maybe the Europeans know that they play better as a team. Therefore, they get the best out of the European brand, if you like, when playing in four balls or foursomes. They seem to perform better like that. Singles, traditionally, you see the Americans do better, man on man, mano a mano, in that format as well. So is it essential that the Europeans get as much as they can from these final fours out there at the moment? There are 4 points in the offing.
I fully agree with you, Tom. I think, you know, the less pressure you can put yourself under on Sunday, the better. And I think the good thing for Europe is that even their captain's picks, all their players seem to be playing well at the moment. The problem to me for the Americans is there's a couple of players which are struggling for form. So, but I think, to me, the bigger buffer you can have for tomorrow's singles, the better. Of course, Europe need 14.5 points to win the Ryder Cup. USA need 14 points to retain it. So I think Europe, at this stage of the competition, we're pushing as hard as what they can and ideally try and go in with the biggest lead come Sunday tomorrow for the singles.
Because on paper, going into singles tomorrow, the Americans would have it, surely.
Yeah, 100%. Americans are the odds-on favorite coming into this whole entire tournament, but it just hasn't panned out for them, so we'll see how it goes in the singles. But they need to make it close for today. If they don't make it close for today, tomorrow is going to be less and less pressure for this European team. They're going to be able to just float on by.
I mean, because potentially, we're looking at the score at the moment, Europe leading by 4 points. If America were to win all 4 points in these final foursomes this afternoon, and we go into tomorrow 8-8, obviously the onus, but also the momentum.
Yeah, the big M word.
Would be with the Americans going into the final day.
Yeah, and then the Europeans would have their backs against the wall, but not looking that way right now. I mean, it's still early doors. Eight holes in, Rose and Stenson up. I mean, right now the team of Watson and Simpson look good through six holes. But if the scores stand right now, the Europeans would get 3 points, the Americans would get one.
Rate it for me, you boys. I'm one of those guys that I love my golf, as you know. I love my sport. That's why we're sat around here having this conversation. Ryder Cup is one of those events, though, is it not, that really does get people's blood boiling, their passion going. You know, how many of our friends and colleagues have literally been stuck to their sofa the whole thing? You know, nothing else happens whilst the Ryder Cup is on. Is it that tournament for you as well? Is it up there with one of the great sporting events?
Absolutely, Tom. I think it's absolutely fantastic. And, you know, you wait every 2 years for it to happen. And I think even myself, I've been glued to the screen from kickoff yesterday. And it's been absolutely fantastic. I think it's a wonderful event that's becoming bigger and better every single year. And to me, that if you look at past Ryder Cups, it just didn't seem like the fans were as into it as what they now. And to me, the European fans have really, really come to the party. I think it's an absolutely fantastic event, and I think it will just go from strength to strength.
Look, I'm not wanting to be controversial for the sake of being controversial. I suppose the only thing for me is that I am of that opinion. I know that I'm going to make enemies with lots of people out there, and specifically Robbie Greenfield, that golf can be it's too long. It's too long. And this is a man that sits through 5 days of test cricket, so I don't really know where this goes. But, you know, I can't sit through watching 18 holes of golf during a normal tournament, things like that. When you've got a morning session and an afternoon during a Ryder Cup, and what could potentially be 8-8 going into the final day, I think I'll just save it to the final day if that's all right. No, what we've been
come on, with? Tommy. Come on, Tommy.
That's what it is, though. No, it's what it is. It's all consuming.
No, but the thing is, it can change so quickly and so often. Like, for example,
that's the point. That's the thing that frustrates me the most, you know.
But to me, how exciting has it been, even sitting through the whole thing? The Americans were on top. Now it seems like the Europeans are on top. And then tomorrow it can all change again. So, I don't know. To me, the Ryder Cup is one of the events that I rate right up there.
I think it's... I put it as a top five rivalry type of things in sport out there. I mean, the amount of smack talk in all these group texts that I have coming in this week is just incredible from all of my friends over in the UK and all my friends on the European side. We even started our own Ryder Cup team. So next week, me and my American mate and I are going out against my two British mates, and we're going to do our own Ryder Cup up at the Arabian Ranches. Nice. So, like, it is captivating. But yeah, Tom, you are a bit right. Golf is a bit slow. Yeah. I mean, this isn't another groundbreaking news bulletin. It always kind of has been a bit slow, but the Ryder Cup seems to be one of the most exciting things you can watch when it comes to golf, wouldn't you say?
I mean, the one thing I will say about that is I like the foursomes, because there seems to be that, we're going to use the M word again, momentum, but they play it so much quicker because you've only got one ball in play.
Correct. Yeah. And I think that's what makes the Ryder Cup so great, because you're watching three different formats that are happening within one tournament. But from a golfing perspective and time perspective, I think it's the best tournament time-wise that you could watch, because it's always changing.
And how great is it that Tiger Woods is playing? I mean, obviously. I mean, that's just another thing that we say week after week. But Tiger Woods back in the Ryder Cup for Team USA, coming right off of a win. It's just a win-win for golf.
I mean, I've always said this. I think that golf is a much better game when Tiger Woods is playing. And once again, the excitement that he brings around the course when he is there, the man has got a presence like no other athlete.
Just watching the golf down here live on the big screen down at Barasti. There will be, of course, flicking over to the Premier League in just a little while. But I do take your point from a little bit earlier on, Ross. I think I've been watching on with interest. And you know what? We can point a big fashion finger at the European team. But some of the outfits the Americans have been wearing as well. The one that they've brought out today, what on earth do they think they look like?
Oh, my goodness. Bubba Watson, not only does he dress like his mother dresses him, he also hits his 4-iron about 40 yards left of the green. If Bubba Watson could start playing like he's won a Masters, that would be phenomenal, because he has just not been playing well today for the American teams. Here we go. We see Kopp on his fourth shot. They're one down to their European side. But, yeah, some of these American outfits have been fun. But the fleece on the European side, I don't think that's going to be running off the shelves anytime soon. I don't see any kids running to their mom. Hey, Mom, can I have that mustard fleece that I see Ian Poulter wearing, please? Absolutely not.
looks like Ruffalo's fur coat.
He's got his on order already. Yeah. That's for sure. You can guarantee Greenfield's probably got one as well on order. And you can guarantee that Ben Jacobs is wearing his as we speak at the moment. 4001, are you listening to The Grill? We're live here on Dubai I-103.8. We are fast approaching 6 o'clock. You know what happens at 6 o'clock? We turn our attention to football. Arsenal against Watford is your featured match. We will build up more to that in just a few moments.
This is The Grill. Get involved with the show. Text 4001 or message us for free on the Dubai Eye Messenger app.
So, we've got Ryder Cup on the screen in front of us at the moment. Europe still leading the USA by those 4 points. It's 8-4 in the standings. So that's on the points. And they're out with the foursomes at the moment. Last opportunity for the Americans to try and rein back that European lead. In the meantime, though, we're turning attention to all things football. There's rugby ongoing as well at the moment. CVR, forget, where do we know where to look at the moment? We've been watching the football as football fans. We're watching the golf. Lest we forget the rugby as well.
Yeah, Tom, we're so spoiled. What I can tell you, one Curry Cup game in South Africa that's come to end. Two unbeaten teams taking each other on today. Western Province taking on the Sharks, and it was a runaway victory for the boys from Cape Town. Western Province beating the Sharks 50 points to 28. In the top 14, we've got Toulouse taking on Castres. 38 minutes played there. Toulouse leading 10 points to 3. And, of course, the big game, South Africa taking Australia. That kickoff in about an hour's time. 5 past 7 UAE time.
We have got 6 o'clock kickoffs. It's live here on Dubai Eye 103.8, so keep it locked there for Arsenal against Watford, but goals in all the other ones as well. Man City playing Brighton this afternoon. City will go back to the top of the table if they win today, for a short time at the very least. Man City have been in great form since the start of the season, but not the unbeatable form. They've shown a couple of opportunities. Do you think that is because they're lacking the services of Kevin De Bruyne? Because when he's not in that team, they're not the force they could be.
They were never going to have the same season they had last year. What, was it 18 points between them and United last season? So, I mean, that was kind of remarkable, for one. That's the word that comes to mind. But did you think that they were going to do another 18-point runaway this year? I mean, we saw Chelsea get better. We saw Liverpool get better. We saw United go out and spend some money. So, you know, they're certainly not invincible, and they've shown that in the earlier half of the season. We watched that Wolverhampton game. That was a close game. They fought against them 1-1. So it's good for the league, right?
Yeah, but also we've seen their form in Europe not being the form that Man City fans have been used to as well. You know, losing a game at home.
Big surprise losing to Lyon, Tom. And I think, yeah, maybe to Ross's point, maybe they just struggled getting a little bit of momentum going, but they're still a class act. But I think one thing that we are forgetting this season is that Liverpool's had a fantastic start, and Liverpool seem to have upped their game a lot. So to me, they're the one team currently that can compete with City. But saying that, though, so far City's done what they needed to do. Of course, just the draw against Wolves, but still a quality team, but missing Kevin De Bruyne. He is such an important part to that City team.
Beat a couple of goals in the German Bundesliga. They're underway about 20 minutes into the games there. Wolfsburg against Bayern Mönchengladbach. That's one apiece at the moment. Sorry, Borussia Mönchengladbach. Stuttgart lead Werder Bremen by a goal. And Schalke are one up against Mainz at the moment. Valencia beat Real Sociedad earlier on today. Barcelona take on Athletic Bilbao. That one's off at 6:15. Eibar against Sevilla at 8:30. And then the Madrid derby a little later on. Real against Atletico at 10:45 this evening. Before all that, though, you've got Liverpool against Chelsea. I should say Chelsea against Liverpool, live from Stamford Bridge. This is a mouth-watering prospect. Let's hear from the managers, shall we? Let's start with Jurgen Klopp. Klopp, who has been praised by many Liverpool fans and former players in the build-up to this game. He says that Chelsea have plenty of top-quality players and therefore must not be underestimated.
How do we defend Jorginho? Then we have them, these two, and then Willian is there, of course, and Morata or Giroud. Aye, aye, aye. And then Kovacic is running with the ball like a Formula One car. And Kante, oh, don't forget him. Oh, come on. They are pretty important, all of them. That's how football is. That's why I love that game so much, because they're all important. Isn't that nice? So, and they, in the best way, they are all important. Our boys are all important. So let's be important. Let's try to be very decisive. Let's try to be at 100%.
That's the thoughts of Jurgen Klopp. Let's get more from him, in fact, because he's always entertaining, is he not? He was asked earlier on the week about that defeat against Chelsea in the Carabao Cup. Was that going to be something of a hindrance to him in his preparations? He said absolutely not.
It will be tough. It will be intense. For both sides, it's a big one. It's Chelsea versus Liverpool, so that sounds already good. And then now we have to make sure that it is good. And for both teams, it will not be an easy game. Both teams know that. But how I said, the best preparation for us for the Saturday game is the Wednesday game, because you can never know more about an opponent than in a match you play against them. And of course, a few different players on the pitch for sure for Chelsea. And but we try to use our information from Wednesday to do better.
What about the Chelsea perspective? Let's hear from Cesar Azpilicueta. He's been talking ahead of this one, saying that tonight's game against Liverpool, who really have hit their straps in terms of Premier League form, he says it's going to be a huge test for Chelsea.
Well, it's a massive game. We'll face the only team that has won every game in the Premier League this season. We know that it's a very strong team with a high confidence, but our target is back to the bridge and try to to win because it's a massive game.
So how's a Chelsea defender such as Pellegrini get ready and prepare to face one of the most potent strike forces, not just in Premier League, but also in world football at the moment?
The main task for everyone is to play as a team together, to have the ball, to dominate the game, and you know, when they will have their offensive runs, we have to be together to defend well, because we have to do an intelligent game against a team that they know how to play. They play, you know, they have been playing together for a while, and they are very dangerous.
Those are the thoughts of Chelsea and Liverpool ahead of the game. I think we're all looking forward to that. How are we going to fit it all in, though? How are you going to keep an eye on the football and the rugby, the internationals, the golf?
Channel flipping, Tom, it's going to have to be. But yeah, it's getting tougher and tougher to keep up with everything. But nonetheless, I will try my best.
Thank you very much indeed for your time this afternoon.
Absolutely, Tommy. As I say, go the box tonight. Let's see what the USA can do against Europe, all the momentum with Europe, and of course the big one, Chelsea taking on Liverpool.
CBR, thank you very much indeed to you. Thanks also to you, Ross Christ.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Thank you, Tom. Thank you to the listeners. Get in touch with me at Ross Talks on Instagram and Twitter, and I'll be getting up Thursday morning at 4 in the morning. MLB wildcard, New York Yankees versus Oakland Athletics, win or go home. Playoff baseball's here.
Thanks very much indeed for that. Stay tuned. You've got Arsenal against Watford. Dan Wheeler is your commentary. Thanks to Viva Velas Vargas back in the studio, to Benji, to Hector, and the branding guy here in the Barasti. I know. But you know the branding guy to everyone out there in the UAE now. That's what it's all about, isn't it? You know, it's great to have the team on board with us today. Lovely to have all of the guys, your company as well. Do stay tuned to Dubai I-103.8 for coverage of the Premier League. But also, of course, stay tuned for Chelsea against Liverpool straight after that. Till next week, farewell.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiI1038.com.